read on social media this week. So please do test it. But John Piper said the following. He said, until we know that life is war, we will not know what prayer is for. Until we know that life is war, we will not know what prayer is for. So that's just a soft word of reminding us for what. Why do we pray? It's not, as I said to Stephen, I don't believe that's the full totality of prayer, obviously. There's an intimacy part, a relational part, a father-son type of part of prayer as well. But there's a very big part of war. And what happened yet this morning is worship. And it's prayer, but it is also because we're in the midst of war. And because we're in battles. And so this is where why we're here this morning. It's not to tick boxes and feel a bit better about yourself and just go on with life. It is for God to just to refresh our hope and for us to be on the right side of this major battle called life sometimes. But anyway, I'm going to share with you this morning, quickly recap what we did last week and then tell you how I got to this particular word. But let's just quickly close our eyes. God, thank you that I pray that our faith will not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. I clearly saw like arrows going out and just hitting the mark today. We know it's you and it's your Spirit. Come and unlock hearts. Come and bring wisdom. Come and bring revelation and light through the Word of God. Come and wash clean where needed. And we thank you, Lord, that none of the seeds that you sow this morning will fall to the ground or will be wasted or stolen, but it will bear fruit. Bring deep revelation, God, to us all. We ask. We thank you for that. Amen. You'll notice now, you can go to the next slide. I giggle when the Lord does this. It's so amazing. The first words Corin said this morning was, I feel the Lord wants to encourage us or encourage his people. I'll tell you how I got to that just now. But yes, today we're going to talk about the encourager. But just quickly before we move on, you can go to the next slide. Last week, because this is actually where I was running towards going on vision. Last week, we just quickly chatted about the fact that this, just after the middle of the year, in fact, now even further, after the middle of the year, and if we don't just sometimes pause and hit stop and just take a bit of a reflection time on the year, we might just get to the end of the year and just ask each other, what did God really do, or how did I grow with the Lord, and what did he say again at the beginning of the year, and did we actually follow the road that he placed on our heart? Apologies for the cough now and again. And so it's good, as I said, I get lost in Canal Walk all the time, so I like those boards, and I like those tunnies that park there and help me out. Where the heck is Mug and Bean? I need to chat to George. I need to see Hofmeyer. I'm late. Where am I? And so it's a good time, just this time of the year, maybe to say, Lord, where are we? Not just in the year, but in the season of your life. Just to check, vision-wise, where are you? You know what is vision? Vision is the faculty or state of being able to see. Obviously, it's a bit of a metaphor. It's not a literal see, but it's just to see, where am I going? The moment you don't know where you're heading in life, you lose hope, you lose faith, right? Have you ever been in a season where you don't know where you're going? Can't see? You run into stuff, metaphorically speaking. And so it's just good to check, Lord, do I actually have vision from you? Am I following you? What did you say again? And are we on that road? So it's a good exercise, I believe, for all of us to take. We're not going to do it today. Vision in the biblical sense with God is always prophetic. So prophetic and vision go hand in hand. It's a foretelling of what is to come. That's the way our Father operates. It's beautiful how he just shows that time and time and again. I read last week, I love this, Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, take heed, guys, they stumble over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. If you don't know in this season what's God actually doing, if you're in a mess, in a storm, in a difficult situation, and you can't see, you don't know what God is doing, what is he planning in this situation, you stumble over yourselves, you get hurt, you're definitely not blessed. And I've been there. But it's amazing how where God takes his heart, as I think Stephen said, where we know him intimately, he reveals his heart towards us, and he shows you what is to come, how it works. And so Edna just shared a testimony. God said at the beginning of this year to this church, be anchored. In other words, be anchored in the basic principles of following me, of connecting with the Lord, of relationally walking with His Word, with His Spirit and His people, and heeding to His voice. And then when the storms come, when the winds and the waves come, that you're anchored. And so we had a bit of a surprise. As you all know, God laid something on our heart. But that clear vision helped Edna and myself just to get through what our emotions experienced as a storm. So that's how vision gets applied. So it's very practical Christianity 101, but yet without that, we stumble and fall and we get hurt. So it's saying it's relational, God is speaking, He is showing us, we've got vision because we see what is coming, it's prophetic, and then when it happens, we're not freaking out. Because He said, I forewarned, I did tell you. It can be either good or bad, or a challenge, but in that space, we can have peace again, saying that our peace does not come from our experience of our circumstances, but inwardly in the character and knowing what God is doing. So that makes a lot of sense. And so we had Men's Monday the other night, and one of the guys said, I've really been challenged a lot. Well, this is more or less the word. I've really been challenged a lot by the messages, and it really worked deep in my heart. And I immediately had a bit of a fright, and I'm like, was it too hard, Lord? And I realized that sometimes I've got a bit of a warrior instinct that go all out. So I had to take a step back and say, Lord, is there too many challenges on the plate or not? And I really had a sense of peace that, no, probably not. But the Lord is working in all of us, and He will help us in different seasons, in different ways. And this is just something that makes me tick. When God gave me a new name, when I got saved, I didn't look anything the part, neither do I now, but I'm trusting in faith. He said to me, my name will be Faithful Warrior in Christ. And so I like where the battle is. I like where the fight is. It's just spiritually. In my natural man, I'll probably quiver and hide in the corner. But if God's Spirit stands up in me, if His Word becomes flesh in me, I like the battles. I like the fight. So that's usually what I preach around. So if you're a visitor and you like spiritual fights, then you're more than welcome to come again. You're in any event welcome to come again. There's other people that also preach here. Don't worry. We try to spice it up and make sure. But so I had a moment there. And then I had a message planned on vision, how to carry vision, how to see it through, how to spit water in front of lots of people, just to make sure that you're humble. Excuse me, Hela. It was a gat in my lip. This is my mom. Now you're awake. Sorry for the Afrikaans joke. But anyway, so I was on my way just to talk about vision, but I was actually a bit tired, to be honest. So Friday evening came, I said to Ed, wrestling through this, how to carry vision, how to see it through, because I've seen so many Christians, charismatic Christians, we love prophecy, we love God just speaking into our lives, and we love freaky pens, we love the Lord just speaking into our lives, but we don't always see that those prophecies, those vision, gets carried to fruition. And before I preach that sermon, I was speaking to Edna, and Edna says, maybe you should have an encouraging message. I'm like, firstly, I think all of my messages are encouraging. If you like fighting and the truth, and if you hate idols. And so I had a moment, I'm like, nah, I don't feel very encouraged myself, so how can I encourage other people? And when I sat at my desk on Friday evening, it's just as if the Spirit, in a subtle way, just brought my heart. And I just realized I'm not the encourager. I don't have it in me. But the Word, the Scriptures, encourage. And the Spirit, encourage. And just because of that, I can bring a message. So for those that need encouragement today, I believe the Lord clearly is saying, prophetically, through my wife, and at least through me bowing my knee, that He wants to encourage you guys. And there's different ways in which Johan, Taniriano, or Pietri, or I, or whomever will hear encouragement. But I'm putting out my faith that today the Lord will come and encourage your heart. Because guess what? Life is not that easy. Life is really not. It's only AB that I've heard that says that every day is a holiday. But other than AB, he's going to lay hands on everybody. We're just going to make a prayer queue afterwards. But other than AB, I've not heard that a lot of times. And I've experienced, who's had a bit of a tough week or one or two tough days? Let's be honest. Let's not be all heilig. Okay, cool. But we're not going to stay in that place, I believe the Lord says. So we're after halfway of the year. It's good to say, am I still on track? Lord, am I walking the small, thin, narrow road that you've picked for me? Are we on track? And then secondly, I believe it's a good question to ask, are you okay? Are you really okay? I think there might even be some tears today, but hey, let's see. It's a good question to ask, am I okay and are we going okay? Because I believe the Spirit, the Lord, personally wants to come and encourage us. Encouragement is the following definition. It's not on there, but just listen closely. To give courage to, pretty profound, to give or increase confidence of success. To give or increase confidence of success. And whatever you're facing, whatever desert you're in, when you get encouraged. For me, it's like this. I see God really as a father. I love sonship. You guys know that. So it's a warrior part, the sonship part. That's just a bit more about me. So I relate with God. But I can face a lot of things. And we've had, as a family, I believe we have faced a couple of things. But there's one thing that just comes and stirs my heart. If God just comes and whispers and ramas in my heart and says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because he doesn't necessarily take away the challenge. He doesn't necessarily say, gone's the desert. Hey, that's quite cool. I didn't even practice that. He doesn't do that. I'll start beatboxing now. Depends on how the sermon goes. But he doesn't do that. He just comes now and again and just says, I've got your back. Jy gaan alright wees. If I'm facing something, he says he stands on the other side and he's like, dit het goed gegaan. And I need that. This job can be pretty alone sometimes. And it's not a finger to any of you guys. It's sometimes a bit of a tough job. And then when the Lord says your wife needs to go do another work or get another employment for a couple of months like now, it just can easily, you can find yourself in a bit of a weird space. But Emmanuel's with you. And so I need this comfort and encouragement today, and I believe all of us. So what's the definition? To inspire with courage, spirit, or strength of mind. To embolden, to animate, to incite, to inspire. And so God's going to give us courage this morning, but a beautiful thing that I noted from Friday night till Sunday morning was that a lot of the verses that I quickly went and did an Esau word search on, in the one translation, it will refer to ESV and King James Version, especially. In the one version, it will say encourage or encouragement. But guess what the word would be in the ESV or in the other version? It'll be comfort. And it's come on, who needs a bit of comfort now and again? We're not going to ask who likes comfort food. We're trying to quit. Thank you, Jesus. But we all need comfort. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how cool and how good looking or whatever the case, how rich you are. I can honestly just say it with a mic that we need comfort. And so to encourage is to comfort. And it's going to be okay. And the second thing Karen actually mentioned prophetically was the waters. And this morning we come to the Lord, and the first image that came to mind was the wash basin. The wash basin that they had in the Old Testament. You remember with Moses that the priests will come before they go into the holies, or then the Holy of Holies, outside in the inner court, but just before they go into the holies, there was, amongst others, just this klein baadjie met water in. A wash basin with water. And so they had to get there, and they needed to cleanse themselves. They needed to clean them up. And so they washed themselves with water before they went in, and they did all the things. The bottom line is they wanted to get to God, or at least the high priest once a year. And so all of these symbols speak so loudly to us. But I believe today the water also speaks to us. And it's the Word of God. I believe it gets fulfilled in the mere fact that the saints, the priests, can today come, but to daily just come and wash themselves with the Word of God. So ideally, coming to church would not be to swear or strangle your kids and put them in the car, try to get them dressed, and then just quickly brushing their teeth in the foyer of church. The ideal should be actually to say, Lord, even before I get to church, just come and wash me clean. Just come and speak to me through your words so that I can come prepared to your presence. And so, in the Old Testament, we see that picture in Ephesians 5. It says the following. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so by God's grace, he's given us his word to wash us clean. And I believe that is what happens firstly. As we get encouraged, he washes us clean with his word. Do you do it daily? I want to encourage you to daily take the word and have a bit of a washing. So beautiful how this morning even, I got up and I was maybe not in the best spiritual places that I've ever been in on a Sunday morning. I went to get up quite early, get my coffee, and then I go park off. And I'm like, okay, Lord, please talk to me. I need to speak to you today. And he just gave me Psalm 25. Dependence on the Lord. I start reading. And the first two verses was like just something lifted off me. I read the first two verses and it just lifted. The washing came. I get up. I had thoughts last night. I had dreams during the night. I wake up. You don't wake up alone. Except for your family, there's more stuff spiritually going on when you wake up. Let me not fool you. There's lots going on when you wake up. And so the moment you go sit down, remember prayer is a bit of war as well. We need to discern what is going on. What is God saying? And then the word helps. The washing helps. And so dependence on the Lord, Psalm 25 just washed me clean. And so moments later, I could stand up and I was full of faith and I was ready for the day and I was ready for church. I was ready for what the Lord wanted to do. We go to Romans 15, verse 4. We speak encouragement. God is wanting to encourage his people. And we're saying, firstly, guys, we need to get through the word to be encouraged. You can go to Romans 15, please. Albert, thank you. I'll read it for now. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, listen closely, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. If you're cast down, if you're without hope, this word is not to tick a religious box. It is for the encouragement of the scripture so that we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement, guess what? The God of endurance and encouragement is here this morning. You need to open up your heart. He wants to bring word of encouragement to your heart. He wants to restore that hope through his scriptures and through his spirit. Grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God the Father and Lord Jesus. So why encouragement? Why? Just quickly to see who's thinking. Why do you need encouragement? Anybody? Why do you need to be encouraged in life? Let me quickly ask this. Who likes to be encouraged? Petri, do you like to be encouraged? Amen. Some of us actually struggle with it. Sometimes. Because traditionally, in certain cultures, you've been taught, yes, a man. Stand. Stand. Maak het gebeur. Doen het ding. And that's not the way God operates. Yet the flesh and pride will tell you, but stand up and be a man. Yes, that's good, but it's subject to the gospel. It's subject to the mere fact that you say, I'm actually a son, I'm actually a daughter, and I need grace. I need help. I need to be encouraged. So maybe pride is something that will try to steal encouragement from us. Because you need to be tough. No, you don't need to be tough. Who told you need to be tough? I'm standing here because he's tough. I'm standing here because He's strong. I'm standing here because He is powerful. I'm standing here because He's not a coward. And He's not intimidated. That's why I'm here. And so there's no reason why we can't be honest about our true state and saying that we need encouragement. So we like being encouraged. Why do you need encouragement, guys? Excuse? To conquer fear, yes. It gives you hope, yes. It gives you hope. It keeps you on track, yes. It helps you to see. It lifts your eyes. I like that. You don't get disheartened, yes. It confirms, yes. It reminds you who you are. It reminds you firstly of who He is, capable, strong, as I just said. But then in that mirror moment, you remember who you are. And so I think we are in one heart and a cause that we need that. I read somewhere and I just wrote down the quote or the couple of sentences. Why do we need encouragement? Encouragement from the Bible gives us the will to carry on. I'm not going to ask whoever wanted to quit. We all might have had that moment where you actually just feel like either ministry or work or a relationship or a friendship or a broken relationship or even your road with the Lord, road with a church community or ministry, whatever the case may be. Encouragement from the Bible gives us the will to carry on. It is a glimpse of a bigger picture. Sometimes in a storm we can get so fixated and we get clapped from all sides. And then it's just good to stand back. And the one that has perfect vision say, what's going on? What's cooking? I'm dying here, but what's cooking? And I says, it's going to be okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, love the story. They get thrown into the furnace. But before they do that, God can save us. But if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down. And then God saved them. And they did not even smell of smoke. But in that moment, it might have been tough. But they needed that faith. They needed that hope to say, it's going to be okay. The reason that we need encouragement, it can prevent burnout. It can save us from believing lies and falling for sin and deception. And then today I believe the Lord is encouraging us and He's wanting to encourage us through Scripture and reminding us to go back to Scripture. Wash us. Wash ourselves and go meditate on the truth. But also I believe there's a call upon all of us to encourage one another. To encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily. Listen up, guys. We think it's quite cute if once a month I send a very nice, deep WhatsApp to somebody, encouraging them. The Word says, Hebrews says, no. Well, I'm going to let the day get a bit tough. Let's encourage each other daily. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You see, if you lose hope and if you lose sight of God, if you lose sight of His voice and His Word into your life, that clean water, the next thing that you'll just try to get comfort, encouragement somewhere else. And who else can give you godly comfort than God? No one. And so any comfort outside of the Lord and His will and His Word is what? It's going to be sin. And so if I don't encourage Rolf, if he goes through he's in a beautiful season at the moment, obviously. But if he was ever, you're in a good season. That's nothing's wrong with that. I got an amen from him. But if he was going through a tough season, I've got a responsibility and love to encourage him and say, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Scripture says, and I share the following with him. And so we've been called to do that with one another. So if I tell you, hey guys, when I haven't seen you around at church, or I haven't seen you at fellowship, it's not to make me feel better. It's not to do stats. It's just saying, are you not slipping away with the deceit or the deception of sin? That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to stand before God for what you did with your life. Really, I'm not. But I've got a certain responsibility for which I am going to stand before the Lord. But if I see that Kunrod's really going through a tough season, even though I might be struggling and I don't say, hey man, are you all right? Just stay close to the fire. How's your heart? any offense, any issue, even ask the tough questions, then I'm not loving my brother. And so we need to do that. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says the following: therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so we've been called not, there's a difference between encouraging and giving a word of encouragement through the Spirit of God. There's another thing called yenenkwas. What is yenenkwas? Flattery. Flattery is not a fruit of the Spirit. Flattery is not of the Lord. I believe it's of the pit. It's actually manipulation. It's fear of man, and it's not fear of God. So we're not called as a church into flattery either. You're going on with sin, you're really stuffing up, and I'm like, I haven't seen you in 6 months at church, but hey man, whenever God says to you, come back, come back. No, that's flattery, that's nonsense. It's like saying, I've seen you burning, it's third, fourth, fifth degree burns, but I'm just going to leave that. All right. No, it's going to say, hey, let's hook up for a coffee. How are you really doing? I want to encourage you. God is faithful. And so let's just discern between flattery, the yenenkwas, sugarcoating. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that. You see, we need the encouragement, especially if you're Afrikaans, trying to preach in English. But you need that. Anyway, before we lose, this is still, I think, part. Oh, no, it's not the intro. Praise God. So, where do you often find encouragement in Scripture? Psalms. Ah, Gilles, the nice. Probably saw the intro. And so, oh man, it's obviously not the only place, but I like the fact that Johan referred to David this morning. This is such a way in connecting in Psalms with the reality of life. There was such a zeal. And remember, he was a man after God's own heart. But I believe we can learn so much from David because he was quite real. He was real. I don't believe there was a religious bone in his body. When he wanted to dance before the Ark of the Covenant and his wife thought that was maybe not the best idea, he couldn't care less. He was real. He was real about the character of God, but he was also real about himself and his flaws and his sins and where he missed it. And if he wasn't, he just gave it time and God convicted him and then he was quite real. So I think we could believe we can learn so much from him. And so today I just quickly want to stand still in the Psalms. And we can actually do this for 6 years on end and be so encouraged. But we're just going to skim the top of the mountain this morning. So Psalms for me has been a place of strength and encouragement very often in tough times. And then God will just rhema a certain psalm on my heart, and when I go read it, it's not like the whole thing makes sense and it's applicable in my situation, just ripping it out of context. No, it is a verse or three verses or two verses, a heart that speaks to me. Why can the encouragement of David give you encouragement today? How's it possible? Amen. Amen. Bianca said, because God is still the same. I couldn't have said it better. That is the sum total, because David had a beautiful way of capturing God's character. The word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We heard this morning that he doesn't have favorites either. So this, and then, biblically speaking, that all of Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. And so there's more than enough reason that you can boldly say, no, this is mine. I can take this. Obviously with the Holy Spirit, because there's some things that you can try to force out of context and the Spirit says, then don't do it. But along with the Holy Spirit, we can stand on the character of God, knowing that all Scripture is God-breathed and that it can be powerful in my life. And I've seen that. This morning, whatever was bugging me spiritually, just lift it off after reading two verses and getting a chapter from the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced that in your life? Amen. Great. So God's going to... I just quickly just wrote down the ones that I can remember that God did life-changing things, life-changing moments in my life that he encouraged me in Psalms. It was all of those. Actually, two as well. Psalm 2, 16, 19, 21, 23, 24, 25, 27. The Lord is my stronghold. 32, so many times. With my eye on you, I will give you counsel. I will show you where to go. Don't be like a horse and mule without bread and bridle. Ex officio, I will tell you, I'll give you direction. That's just changed my life. 56, this I know God is for. That thing jumped out at me and hit me one day when I really needed it. This I know. It felt like I was facing the hordes of hell. And then I just read that scripture and it just burst in my spirit. And I just knew, this I know, God is for me. There's some of you guys that really need to hear that again. This I know, God is for you guys. Through Christ, through His blood, through His grace. This I know, God is for you. If you've forgotten that, I want to prophesy, I want to pray. Lord, in this moment, I want to pray it over your people. I want to pray it, even if cognitively it doesn't even make sense, but I want to pray it over our spirit. This I know, God is for you. I want to pray it over our families and our marriages. This I know, God is for you. This I know, God is for you. And so, 48, 62, 72, 84, pilgrims, yes, Lord. 91, we all know. 105, we all know. It's a beautiful summary of Israel and their journey, and I learned so much. 111, wisdom. 112, that's a beautiful one that just keeps on speaking to me. 114, 121, you all know. 123, 127, and so it goes on. There was a time, there was a tough period, a desert season in our lives, myself and Edna, where, you know, in Malmesbury, we went, which felt like our bad state. I think it was my 31st birthday. Didn't have any money. We knew God was doing something in our lives, but it was quite tough. And that year, she couldn't give me a present, but she gave me a song. I think it was the biggest life-changing present that I've received in my life. She could only afford she actually made a card. Was it cardies in Mama's brain? I was a geld for cardies. So she made me a card and she gave me a psalm. And that day I went for a meeting, a life-changing meeting. I had to make a tough decision. I could walk in ministry, but in a place where it was not 100% for myself and her. And I needed to stand up and anyway, long story short, that psalm spoke exactly into that day and into that meeting. And it changed my life. It was the most beautiful gift it was the most beautiful gift that she's ever given me. Because it was spirit and it was life. That was the word made flesh. It was such a blessing. And that is the wellsprings that we can all park down at. When we need to be refreshed, when we need encouragement, I want to say, ask the Lord. And if you don't hear Him, open it up. Just start reading. Psalms is a good one. Just to start reading and say, Lord, I need water. I want to be washed clean, but I want to be encouraged by drinking this living well of water. Please speak to me through your Psalms. It changes our life. And so quickly, if I say the Psalms, which one has encouraged you? 20? 3, yes. Anything else? 37, yeah, that's a good one. 91, yes. Yes. What is 39? That's not the only one I know you are. You're probably 1 to 50, yes. 133. Yes. Amen. But just quickly, you all know this one, but I want you to just reboot quickly. We're going to look at Psalm 23. You don't have much time. Just very quickly. Let's look at Psalm 23 and make it encourage us. I want you not to listen just because we know it and you can probably recite it better than anybody else. But I wanted to just hit the heart today again. And I wanted to encourage you. So each verse, each line, make it your own. Just make it your own again. Remember we said that to each other just now, life is a bit tough, we need hope, we all need encouragement, we all love encouragement, and we get it through the scriptures, that's clear. But let's just read through this. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside quiet waters, He renews my life. And so we're going to go on, but I want to take it step by step just very briefly. I want to encourage you guys today, and I want to say to every single person here, you have a good shepherd. And it's not me, praise God. You're in a good space. You've got a brilliant shepherd in Christ. You've got a brilliant shepherd in God. Oh, I love it. I thank God for the scriptures, but he says he is the head shepherd. So actually appy. I love being the appy, but he takes the responsibility. He's the head shepherd. So we have a good shepherd. I want to pray this, and I want to speak this over your life. You have a good shepherd. What is a good shepherd? It's one that cares. Actually cares. Doesn't say more a broer, more a sister, and couldn't care less. He actually cares because he knows you. He cares, he guides, he feeds, and he protects. But there's one key here. In the first line, the Lord is my shepherd. If he's the shepherd, what am I? Sheep. The world doesn't like that. Our modern culture doesn't like that idea. It calls for one of humility, laying low, a humble heart. Yet the world tells us that if you're full of pride, if you're full of yourself, then that's the way you make it. That's the way you get encouraged. If you've got deep pockets, you've got big this and big that, then you get encouraged. Yet the Lord calls us to a place where he says, yes, I'm a shepherd, I'm a good shepherd. But it calls us to a lowly place of being sheep. And sometimes that's a bridge too far. But praise God, it's not a bridge too far for you. By the way, shepherding, it doesn't happen, maybe it relates to what Shelley said, but shepherding of the good shepherd doesn't happen on a Sunday and on a Wednesday and a Thursday predominantly. How often does good shepherding of Christ happens in our lives? 24/7. You're not alone. I want to encourage you guys. You are not alone. My sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Yes, this church community is a part of a much bigger place in which the shepherd is leading you. But he's the shepherd 24/7. There's nothing I lack. Now, David said that. And you might think, well, oh, yeah, you didn't even know about the iPhone 7 or 8. You didn't even know of the Golf GTI. So how can you not have wondered about these things? You're in a different age. No. His contentment was on his inside. And I want to tell you guys, yes, cognitively it's sometimes difficult to realize, but spiritually speaking, if you follow and as you follow him, there's nothing you lack. If there's lack, you just need to ask, shepherd, something's wrong and it's not on your side. How can I get back to following you? He lets me lie down in green pastures. So in other words, he gives you food, he gives you rest, and he gives you his best. There's a 4-minute clip I want you guys just to quickly play. This is maybe a bit extreme, but as they look for the clip, just quickly explain in 4 words, green pastures, before you play. Green, Namakwaland. Swartland, green pastures, where? Constantia, Kirstenbosch, Stanford. Ja, ek het gewag daarvoor. You'll be surprised, Jan, you'll be surprised. Green pastures. Huh? Ireland, yeah, that's a good one. Yorkshire, Scotland. Anybody else? Green pastures? Wait, what have you imagined since childhood? You've heard this a million times. Rivers, yes. Italy, Tuscany. Okay, cool. Please play. Make it nice and loud.
Part of the shepherd lesson, I did want to look at one thing in the wilderness that will maybe surprise you a bit. Believe it or not, this is called wilderness, Midbar, but it's also called green pastures. Now, when you take a Westerner here the first time and you look at this, you find people say, well, I don't know that I can go there, because the Psalm 23, the Lord leads me into green pastures, has been pictured as belly deep alfalfa. Well, you haven't seen any belly deep alfalfa. And from biblical time to today, it's rare to see a flock in the farm country. There isn't a lot of farm country in this culture. And so farmers kept the shepherds out as much as they could. Maybe they would come in a little bit after the harvest to glean what was left, but you don't want sheep where you can farm. This is the land of the shepherd. Right on the hillside across from us, you can see those grazing trails, cut there by sheep maybe as long ago as Abraham's time. They're spaced so that an animal on one path and an animal on another can reach right to the middle between them. That determines the distance, so you can graze an entire hillside. And the shepherds lead their sheep across that hillside slowly, grazing what's there. Now, you look at it from here and you say, what's there? In fact, I remember my first impression. I woke up one morning, I was sleeping out in the wilderness, and I remember waking up watching a flock of sheep on a hillside like this, and my feeling was, what are those rock-eating sheep? I mean, what do they eat? How can you call this green pastures? Well, the answer is, there's a small amount of moisture present here. They get a little bit of rain every year, not much, but a little. Second, there is humidity in the air, especially in the evening breeze, like right now, you can feel it coming from the west off the Mediterranean. There's moisture in the air. That moisture, combination of the rain and the humidity, condenses or drips along the edge of these rocks here. And if you notice, right around the rocks, almost always next to the rocks, you get little tufts of green. Get one a moment. That's what we refer to as the green pastures. So the shepherd looks for a hillside. That's exactly what she was doing. Look at that flock across from us there. Just stunning. Those two shepherd girls have found a hillside that either was exposed to the wind or had that small amount of rain. And they move that flock across the hillside, and it's one mouthful here, walk a step or two, another mouthful, another mouthful, another mouthful. Now that changes the green pasture image a little bit, besides the picture changing radically. Green pastures are not everything you need for the rest of your life. If you make that belly deep alfalfa, then what God is saying, if you follow me, I'm going to plunk you down and you'll never have to move an inch the rest of your life. Just reach out and grab it. Tell me that your life with God has been like that. Worry, said one rabbi, is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. In the desert, you learn the shepherd will get you what you need for right now. 10 minutes from now, you trust the shepherd. Just enough.
And that's the last thing he said there is maybe just what really spoke to my heart. And that is what I want to take from that, is that the shepherd knows what you need and he'll get you to that. And so sometimes people think that being born again, getting him as a shepherd, he'll take you to a place, a nice encamped area with lush green, and he'll park you off and he'll lock the gate like farmers do this day and he'll walk off. Yet the good shepherd knows exactly. I think, by the way, that's an extreme example. I actually went and looked if there's other guys saying the same thing, and there is actually. I do believe that they're quite extreme. They probably didn't get the lushest place to get the statement across, so please don't cry in the car on your way home. But still, we are talking about David, and we are talking about that area, and we are talking about Israel. And so, even though that is extreme, I don't believe it was Kirstenbosch, Constantia, or the garden route that he was referring to. I think it was a bit more green than that, and at least because why we see that they lay down as well, the scripture says. So, just keep it in context. What I do like about what he said is that we should always just check our Christian picture of following the good shepherd and knowing that, yes, there's green pastures, but it's not Hartenbos. It's not Harmonis parking off for the rest of my life. I've worked hard. I've slogged it off. Now I'm going to park off in green pastures that are Harmonis of Hartenbos. I'm not going to say Stanford. Don't worry. Even though it's beautiful, I still want to go. But that's not the heart. He will constantly have you on the move. He will constantly have you on the move because he is the good shepherd and you need to follow. So as I said, I believe a lot can be said for the actual footage of green pastures. And you can go and read it up and actually check it out. I did so because I thought, wow, this is crazy. But it was quite cool. He lets me lie down in green pastures. We're going to end soon. He leads me beside quiet waters. Guys, I want to encourage you that He will give you peace. He will give you peace. As we've just seen, He'll provide, even if it is as bad terrain as that, He will provide green for you to eat. He will provide for you spiritually as you follow Him. But He's also the one that will give you peace. And I want to encourage you with that. He renews my life. If you had any life like mine before I met Christ, you need a whole lot of renewal. Like David, God renewed my life. Mine was in tatters. Totally broken after Stellenbosch and many years of just crazy living, and God just renewed my life. I believe this prophetically refers to, because the King James says, He restoreth my soul. I believe it just speaks of salvation. It's just prophetically speaking of salvation. For the lack of time, we're just going to move on. He leads me along the right paths. Who's ever struggled with making decisions, knowing what direction to follow? Is it this way? Is it that way? He leads me along the right paths. Lord, should I take this door? Should I not? He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. I want to encourage you. Guys, if you ask, He will lead you. Somebody said it last week. Andries, a pastor in one of our congregations, said this. And it's so obvious, but it just spoke. In the way he brought it across, it just spoke to my heart. In this culture, we get driven so much. We just constantly get driven. Driven by this, driven by that, driven by fear, driven by just the Babylonic, Egyptian type of Pharaoh mindset. You're just driven, driven, driven with money, driven lust, driven, driven, driven. And there's contrary to this. We come and sit in the Word. We come and sit at the feet of the Good Shepherd, and He says, I lead. I lead. I lead. I had a situation, I think I shared it once, domestic violence, massive domestic violence issue, guy with a knife in his hand. Now, a pastor is a tough job, eh? In Malmesbury, and I went with the pastor there. I was assisting as pastor, a ministry assistant. So we went there. I walked in front, and I knocked on the door, and I started to speak to the guy, just checking where he's at. And I was busy negotiating with him to see how we can disarm him, because the lady is standing in the corner, he's standing with a knife. And as I'm just talking, just past walks the pastor, Duval. He just walks, he just pushes me aside, and he just walks into the room. And he just takes hold, and he disarms the guy. And I'm like, what? I get into the car, and I'm like, I thought I had that. And he said, but you were here with me. And so it was such a picture. In that stage, that was the right way. Spiritually, in all, it's not how big he is or how strong or any of the sort. It's not about anything, but he just took his position that God had given him. How much more the Good Shepherd? In that, it was such a beautiful picture for me of the Good Shepherd. I thought I had it. No, he can just chill out in the car. I'll sort this out. But he said, no, if anybody's going to take a hit today, it will be me. And that is Christ as a shepherd. He leads. The world will push. They stand behind him like, I'm not sure how that's going to be, but let me just push you and see, and I can walk behind you. Bless all bosses that's godly, but sometimes you might even get a boss that he'll just push you a bit more. He or she will just push you a bit more. They won't go there. No, no, no. But I'll push you, see if you burn out. See if you can make it, and I'll just follow in your footsteps. No, no. Christ says, no, no, no. You follow me. As the Good Shepherd, you follow me. He leads me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Now, I want to encourage you guys, you're not going to go over or around the valley. I want to encourage you today, you're going to go through the valley. I think, again, in our life and in our culture, we want to just, God, let's just like skip the valley. I'll give You my life, but let's just skip the valley. We know the end is good. I want to make lots of money, but let's just skip the work. I want to be great at sport, but let's just skip gym. And he's like, no, 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 we're going to go through the valley, but I'm going to be with you. I am going to lead you, but I'm going to be with you. I fear no danger, for You are with me. You see, he refers to Him as a shepherd, and suddenly in verse 4, it becomes you. It becomes personal. It becomes a bit closer to home. I fear no danger, for you are with me. To see the comfort, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Emmanuel, it becomes personal. Rod and staff, just quickly, they had a rod, something like a club, where they can just sort out the wolves, foxes, whatever would come for the sheep. And then they had the staff with the bent neck in which they can lead. Now, I want to encourage you guys. There's a good shepherd that is standing firstly in leading you, and that he's got the strength, he's got the ability, and he's got the spiritual capacity with his rod to bring comfort in protecting you. And then he's got his staff in directing you. So if you need direction of protection, I want to encourage you that Christ wants to give it to you. And so the journey goes on. Almost it's like leading home. It starts off in the field, but it leads you to the table. And for me, it almost speaks of the journey that we as pilgrims of Christ go through, that one day we're going to park at these tables in heaven. There's different ways of looking at it, but verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What stands out for you there? Just quickly before we end off. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He doesn't take your enemies away. Yes, as we just said, you're going through the valley. He's not taking the bad stuff necessarily away. He prepares you, yes. He protects you, yes. He blesses you in that place. You know what stood out for me? God is not intimidated by what intimidates us. He's not intimidated. So whenever fear comes, whenever anxiety comes, whenever the end of the month or budget or this or a person or a situation come up, God is not intimidated. I love that. He throws a picnic. He says, if you park up at a table and you have lunch, you're in a relaxed place. He says, yeah, we see them, but they've got nothing on us. This is the shepherd we're following. What do we see of him is that he prepares a table before we've got a serving king. We've got a servant king. We've got a servant king. In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I believe lots of things. Obviously, oil in the Old Testament were setting apart, consecration. But then the New Testament, it will mean that he gives us his spirit. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So I want to encourage you that God has set you apart, all of you. Can I get an amen? Who believes that they're actually set apart? Great. He's anointed you with his Holy Spirit. How can my cup overflow? I believe my cup overflows by the living waters inside of me. His waters in me. His life in me. I feel quite alive now in this moment, by the grace of God. I didn't feel like that at 5 o'clock this morning. In fact, as one of my old colleagues said, I felt like death warmed up. And it's not that I'm psyching myself up emotionally. I'm going to like hit something just now. No. It is the fact that my cup is overflowing because he has graced me with his spirit. Do you realize that, guys? I'm encouraged. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. It sounds too good. But imagine meditating on that day in, day out, where it's life. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Small trick here. We want goodness and faithful love to pursue us, but we don't necessarily always want to do it by following him. I believe they go together. No, but Retief, I don't see any of these things. And then you can just quickly ask a couple of questions. Hey, my friend, I'm going to encourage you. If you faithfully follow the shepherd, goodness and faithful love will pursue you. I believe they go hand in hand. And I want to speak this. I want to encourage this. I want to encourage all of you. May it be so. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. I believe, firstly, that speaks of heaven. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. That's a hope we carry. Why do we do what we do? Why are you here this morning? There's physical places that's more comfortable than this school hall this morning. There's clothes that are probably more comfortable than the ones you're wearing now, but we're not that staunch. We don't have any ties here, do we? But there's stuff that's pretty better for the flesh. But we're carrying an eternal hope. And we're saying we want to finish the race. We want the encouragement of the Lord. That's actually half of the sermon. I'll need to end here. Don't know what I was thinking because I've got lots and lots and lots left. If anybody want to preach it this week to the kids, I'll send you a copy. But I've got stacks and stacks of encouraging scriptures that just brings rhema life to man and woman. And I want to encourage you just to go dig them out and to go search them out. Because God is the encourager. And this is, as Ross said last week, is actually a book of encouragement. Guys that went through affliction, tough times, horrid times. But each and every time, if you go look at Scripture closely, it's one that encourages and gives hope. And I wouldn't want to say almost all of the books in the Bible is ones that will tell you, hey, it's going to be okay. We're not there yet, but it's going to be okay. And I want that truth to just rhema in your heart. Next time, at the next stage, we can speak about prophecy. We've spoken about the word, but prophecy is there to encourage. We should be prophetic machines, not to look cool. Not to say, oh, I heard that from the Lord. But so that other people can stand up. Other people can be encouraged. Other people can carry the hope that they have. Proverbs 11:27 says, if anyone can find dirt in someone, be the first to find the gold. So say for getting encouragement from the word and being people that are encouraged, let's be encouragers. Let's not find the dirt. It's easy to find dirt, guys. Man, it's so easy to find dirt. The culture is quite good at it. We've been trained sometimes to think in that way, but let's not find dirt. Let's find gold. Because what is one of the names of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Come on, easy question. Encourager, but the comforter, yes. Same thing, the comforter. So I don't have to give Dirk fake comfort. The comforter is with me, and I can give him comfort. Will you stand with me, please? And I want us to pray. I'm going to read Psalm 23 with you. They don't have this plan, but I believe there's space for it in the Spirit. If it just feels like an exercise, please don't. You don't have to. But if you, in faith, believe that it will encourage you and you take this as your own, for you and for your household, for your marriage, and for this church community, to be people that are encouraged by God and that will be encouragers for others, then I want you to pray this with me. Please hear my heart. You don't have to. But I believe there's a place where we take a stand and we say, thank you, we follow a good shepherd. All right. You can just go for me to Psalm 23, please. And just, we just want to read it together. All the way to verse 1. Thank you so much. I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, thank you that we do this by your Spirit. And we declare this in the heavenlies. We declare it over us, body, soul, and spirit, and over our marriages, our families, our kids. We declare this not because we've heard it a million times. But we go back to that place where it's alive, it's substance. It stirs faith and it changes things in the Spirit. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. You can go to the next slide, please. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the seed that you've sown, that you will germinate and that you will bring forth the fruit of encouragement amongst us as a people. And thank you, Lord, that our cups will truly overflow, that encouragement will definitely not stop here. Thank you, Lord, that we can be real and authentic. And even in so, coming back to you as a shepherd and say, Lord, help. Please bring that courage. Please bring that comfort. Please bring that hope back to my heart, my family, my situation, my future. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. And may we share this that you freely give with us. We thank you for that. Thank you for empowering your people. You're a good God, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Please have some cake. Remember, next week we'll be at Century City. I'll send the details, email, WhatsApp it, and go out and encourage one another. God bless.